I invite you to open your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 5. We continue in our series, The Jesus Way. We're just working through Matthew chapter 5 and through 7. And so Matthew chapter 5 verse 21 is where we pick up today. And what we pick up on today will be very relevant to your life, I assure you. He says in verse 21, you may not believe it after the first verse or so. He says, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment." And all the scribes and the Pharisees and the people listening, they were going like, amen, that's right. We on top of that. And so that's one of those that we would look at and go, I'm doing good. I'm doing good, and I ain't killed anybody. And this is a word of a note to everybody. You ever been in a conversation with somebody, and they're just letting you have it? And they're telling you all the things you've done wrong, it's your mama or your spouse or somebody. And you didn't go biblical on them, but you went Bible on them. And you didn't have anything to say. What did you say? It's not like I killed anybody. You ever say that to your mama? Say, yes, you did. Y'all weren't that good. You say that to your spouse. And then they just let you, you go like, it ain't like I killed anybody. This is right out of the Bible. That's what he says. Listen, you've heard it said long ago, don't murder. And then he says in verse 22, but I tell you, that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court, and anyone who says, you fool, will be in the danger of the fire of hell. Now he's got our attention. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. Verse 25 says, settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. As I said, you know, in verse 20, we go, and in verse 21, we go, hey, I'm doing good. He says, you've heard from long ago, hey, don't murder. And we're like, check, got that one. And the Pharisees would have said, check, got that one. But you remember verse 20, he said, unless your righteousness is greater than the Pharisees, you'll never see the kingdom of heaven. And then he begins to just move in, and he begins to say, look at what Jesus says, that murder for them, though it was a civil issue for them, because they said, hey, listen, you'll go to court if you kill somebody. He says, I want you to know it's not just a civil issue, it's a God issue. He says, not only is murder a God issue, he says, but your heart is a God issue. And he begins to dig in. He says, murder starts in the heart, not the hands. And now he's got our attention. Because I was good on verse 21. I was good. And then he begins to say, listen, the person who murders is guilty, but he also says the person in his heart that has anger toward a person is also guilty, just like the person who murders. Now, I don't know, we don't want to have confession time, but I imagine if you ever come to church and go, hey, what they're talking about today, I don't really apply to my life, right? You ever said that? This would not be one of those days. Because we've all been angry. In some way, shape, or form, and Jesus says, I want you to pay attention, because their interpretation was this. Hey, don't kill anybody, you're going to be in trouble with the law. Your mother may have told you that. Don't kill anybody, you'll be in trouble. But Jesus comes along, he says, it's not just the issue of murder. He says it's the issue of anger and hatred, which is on the same level. Jesus says that God's not just going to judge the act of murder, but he's going to judge what's in your heart. So I think everybody in here is in danger this morning, because we've all been angry. We've all looked at other people and had, shall we say, in a very spiritual way, I got issues with you. I got issues with fill in the blank. So one of the things that Jesus is telling us here, and this is very poignant, he says that anger is not a you issue, it's a me issue. Because we always say, well, anger is, it's you, not me. But Jesus comes along and says, no, the anger issue is a you issue, not a them issue. It's your problem, not their problem. Because when we get angry, the reason I'm angry is because of You did something. You said something. And some of us are very spiritual. Come on now. We're in church. Let's talk about it a little bit. You say, well, I'm not angry with him. I'm angry at sin. I've got a righteous anger. It's just one problem with that. You ain't righteous. And here's what you need to ask yourself. If you're hung up on being righteously angry today, are you as angry at your own disobedience and the dishonor that your sin brings to God as you are the sin around you? Nah. That's why we don't have a righteous anger. You see, Jesus, he faced all kinds of difficulty and insults and all the things that make us angry with people and situations in life. But it's interesting, in 1 Peter chapter 2, he simply says, the scriptures tell us this, that when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. And so we can sit here today and go, hey, man, I ain't killed anybody. And Jesus comes along and says, but are you honoring me with your obedience? Are you honoring me with your mind toward other people? Mark chapter 7, verse 20 says, what comes out of a person is what defiles them, Jesus says. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder. So if murder's there, anger's there. Adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. And simply saying the fact, listen, angry is a you issue. It's not a them issue. Because you have convinced yourself the reason that you're angry is because of them and what they did. He says, no, it started in you and it came out. The person maybe you're angry with, it started in them and it came out. And sometimes we cultivate this anger and this malice inside of us to such a point that you become the victim. You did this to me. You made me think like this. You made me respond this way. Jesus comes along and says, no, I'm sorry, buddy. All of that stuff started right here inside you. Right here inside you. Now that's tough to swallow, isn't it? I'd like to just focus back on verse 21, I ain't killed anybody. And as of now, I'm still good with that. But over in 1 John chapter 3, he begins to build on this same mindset. He says, for this is the message you heard from the beginning, John says. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? He was like, man, I'm just so glad I'm not like Cain. I ain't killed anybody. Why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil. So it was a Cain issue. Yeah. And his brothers were righteous. He says, do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, because this is why some of you are so angry. If the world hates you, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. And anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. I said this last week. I might as well go ahead and say it again. Aren't you glad you came this morning? Right? We've only got a couple more months in the Sermon on the Mount. No, Jesus is meeting us right where we are. Because we go through life harboring this anger and this malice and this bitterness, and we point the finger and it's like, man, it's your fault. And Jesus says, no, it all starts inside. And so one of the things that he's teaching us is that anger is a me issue, not a you issue. My anger is my problem, my sin, not what you did. Another thing he teaches us, and I don't like this either. Am I supposed to say that? Well, it's too late now, isn't it? I'm saying it for you on your behalf. He says not only that, he says, get this. He says that anger speaks. Uh-oh. Matthew 12, 34, it's not on the screen, but he says this, Jesus says, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. You ever heard somebody say something, I mean, not good, bad, and then they'll say this, well, that's not who I really am. Jesus would go, I don't know about that. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And so then we look in verse 22 of Matthew chapter 5, back into our primary passage. He says, but I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. That's harsh. And again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, raka, and a lot of us, you're like, well, I'm good because I never used that word. I don't even know what that is. When's the last time? Anybody use raka this week? We're good. You should have said amen right there. Anyway, anyone who says to his brother or sister, raka, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, uh-oh, this is a little closer to home, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Now, raka, you just say, what is that word? Well, raka is a tough translation, so they just didn't translate it. It's a transliteration. It literally means, if you want to just break it down, it means to be malicious or slanderous. It means to, in middle school terms, to call somebody a blockhead. You go, I got that one. It's an attitude towards someone's intellect. And it's not good. It's an attitude that forgot that person, whatever you think about their intellect, their thought process, you forgot that person was created in the image of God. Then Jesus takes it up a note. He says, anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. That's interesting. This word in the Greek is moros. It's the word we get the word, another middle school term, moron from. He's like, this is a little closer to home. This means to simply look at someone and in your heart go, that's a stupid person. That's a godless person. It's a mindset that when you call someone a moron, you're speaking to their moral condition and you're basically saying you're unregenerate, unsaved, and you are deserving of hell. There's just one little problem with that. That's not your job. That's not my job. He said, Jeff, I'm just pointing out the obvious, and if they don't recognize who they are, how are they ever going to come to Jesus? That's not your job. And so he simply says the person who is angry, you ain't killed anybody, but you're angry, and the reason we know you're angry is because we listened to you. We saw what you posted. We saw what you put on Facebook, what you put on social media. Saw what you fill in the blank. He's just making it clear that he said that this murder may not be an issue with you, but angry is. And I just think, man, Jesus is sitting on a mountainside talking to people nearly 2,000 years ago, and I'm thinking, he needs to pull up a chair today, right? I mean, have you watched the news? Have you seen the commentary? Have you been on social media? Have you been on Facebook? Do you hear the tone of the conversation? And Jesus goes, yep. But they, no, it's not they, it's you. It's a you issue. It's your problem, not their problem. And so Jesus comes along and says, hey, anger is a you issue, not a them issue. And then he simply says, and this is a problem, he goes, that anger speaks. And then he goes on and tells us in verse 23 that the third thing that anger requires or happens with anger is that he says, you know, really anger requires a quick corrective response. In verse 23, he talks about if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar and go and be reconciled to them. And he talks about going to court and said, listen, as you're on your way to court, hey, make things right. What Jesus is simply saying is repair the strained relationships now. He says it's so important, do it before you worship. Do it before things get out of control. Do it now. It requires something to happen now. Because otherwise, here's what we know. He said, why is it so important to do it now? Well, it consumes you if you don't. It It gets you off course if you don't. I remember I was pastoring a church one time, and I'd been there a little while, and I know I've met these people, and I noticed they're some of the second row, right over here to my right. And one sat on one end of the row, and another one sat on the other end of the row. I was like, oh, never thought anything about it. And then somebody told me, it's like, hey, now you know they don't talk to each other. Did something happen this week? No, it's been like that for 26 years. 26 years? 26 years. So what happened? Well, so-and-so died, and then they had to divide up this, and then so-and-so got more than the other person. And they both had a lot. I was like, so 26 years? Yeah, 26 years. And we look at that and go, that's the dumbest thing ever, right? What's going on here? That's what Jesus is talking about. Don't let it go. Some of you have let something go with someone for a long time, and now it's turned into a mess. Now it's turned into a thing that you're like, I don't even think about it. I don't even look at it. The problem is, he's saying, but God is looking at it. And God thinks that thing that you have not dealt with quickly is so important, he'd rather you go reconcile it today than come here and worship. But I ain't killed anybody. I didn't kill anybody. And so Jesus says the anger issue is your problem, Jeff. It's not their problem. He says, matter of fact, we know you got a problem because we hear you talk. Matter of fact, just it's so dangerous, you need to deal with it now. And so what Jesus is trying to get us to do over and over again is this, is when's the last time you questioned your anger? When's the last time you questioned your anger? Because listen, you church folks are good at this. As we already mentioned, so if we say, well, I'm angry. Yeah, but mine's a righteous anger. I mean, we even quote scripture because that's what we do. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members. We are all members of one body. And he says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. And we look at that and go, well, that's the anger. You just got to have the right kind of anger. Did you read it? He simply says, get rid of it. Don't go to sleep with it. He's not going, that's very good. You got good anger. That's good. You hold on to that now. No, he's going, get rid of it. Because if you don't get rid of it, guess what? It's going to become a problem. And so you begin to question yourself and you ask yourself some questions. You know what? Do I have the same passion that leads to repentance over my sin? Do I have that same passion over that sin in my life as that I have about what's going on out there? I mean, we're passionate about what's going on out there, right? Because I don't know about y'all, y'all know it's messed up out there. And so if you're going to question yourself, you're going to be honest about how you're responding to that. Just simply go, okay, I'm really troubled by that out there, and you should be, but am I in trouble as much about what's going on in me as I am what's going on out there? But Jesus, I didn't kill anybody. Oh, yeah, I forgot that part. You'll never think like that if you don't question your anger. You have to ask yourself, hey, is my anger, now it's going to get real personal, hold on. Is my anger just ego-driven? Are you just constantly personally offended? Are you just constantly going, I just feel disrespected? I don't feel acknowledged. I don't feel seen. Is your way not followed? You see, how you answer those questions will determine whether your anger is just ego-driven or not. Because we live in this hyper world where just everybody's always offended. Everybody's like, man, I've been disrespected. We just sing about who we are in God. Why are you so caught up in what somebody else thinks? Why is that impacting your life? Why is that impacting the way you speak? Why is that impacting the way you think? The creator of the world created you in his image. He has a divine purpose for your life, and tomorrow morning will be full of divine appointments. Let the rest of it go. And you have to ask yourself, is anger in the driver's seat of my life? Is it the default emotion? And by the way, you won't be able to answer this honestly. You'll have to ask somebody close to you. Don't do it now. We're not ready for that. Are you offended by the people you should be loving? Are you angry at the people you should be loving? Because here's that thing. If you don't get anything else, Jesus didn't draw sinners to himself by anger, but by love. The reason that you're in the kingdom of God, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, is because of the kindness of God. Scripture teaches us that. You were drawn by the kindness of God. And if you understand, bro, you're not here to make a point. You're here to make a difference. I can make a point, and you can make a point. We're here to make a difference. And let's be honest. You're like, Jeff, I can't take any more honesty. This sounds extreme, doesn't it? Jesus was unaware of what was going on in our current climate. No, they were under Roman rule. Yeah, they were crucifying Christians and burning them to give light to the city. It was a tough day. That's the culture of the world toward Christianity in that day. And so don't sit here today in 2025 in middle America going, well, things have just gotten so bad, we can't do it the Jesus way anymore. We would never say that out loud, but that's how we're acting. You see, when you begin to follow Jesus, and that's what we're doing in Matthew chapter 5 through 7, and you realize in verses 1 through 12 of Matthew chapter 5, he says, listen, I want you to have a different attitude than the rest of the world. And when you have a different attitude than the rest of the world, then in 13, 14, 15, and 16, you're ready to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. I have strategically placed you for that purpose. Then in 17 through 20, he's going to challenge us, don't take this book and lay any part of it aside. It's interesting that he said that right before he got to anger. And don't be so self-righteous that you get up in the morning or at any point and go, well, it's not like I killed somebody. Why you harbor anger toward the one you're supposed to love. I think our world needs some Jesus followers to live the Jesus way. Our world needs Jesus. And they won't see him through your Facebook post. I hate to tell you, bud. They're not going to see it through your angry social media post as you rant about what goes on. The world will be changed when you do it the Jesus way. You realize you got a life-changing message. And you meet people where they are and have a conversation.